Folks, I've been thinking quite a bit and praying about this. And last week here, didn't you love the worship, by the way? Where's Sasha? Is she in children's ministry? Yeah. She's one of our interns here. She's going to help Kathy lead the charge in our house of prayer that's going to start on Thursday mornings. And in fact, there's going to be a lot of things happening here. We're trying to get our head around many different things. This week, as I was saying, was a bit of a write-off to us because nothing seemed to work. Our internet didn't work. Our computer, just everything broke. Our computer broke. My Mac actually crashed. So it's totally wiped out. I lost everything. And it was one of those weeks where just nothing worked kind of thing. And it was like, you know, Candace is in London. She's a bridesmaid. She's a bridesmaid, and they had a shower. Her friend had a shower, I think, Saturday. So she's not with us. But she's such an amazing gal. You know, that's our other intern. And she's there, Bruno, I think God's doing this on purpose. Well, what did I do? You know, it's just like, and it was a time to kind of just sit back. So, and refocus. And so that's a little bit of what I want to talk to you about in terms of pursuing his presence. Also, I want to just ramble a bit before we even start this. I know this is going to be a quick message, so not to worry, but I want to ramble a little. Because it's really important for us to pursue his presence. And God, you know, if you can't do it, and you know, God's going to take out all the stops, so to speak, so that you do it. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the week I had. Now, I want you to know that, you know, you're sitting on chairs that you probably don't know, or, you know, probably just hasn't crossed your thought. But these chairs have been marinated did you know that? You've been sitting in chairs that have hosted revival for 18 years. 18 years. So those chairs, just sitting on them, you're getting anointed. You're getting blessed. You really are. If you turn them over, you'll see that almost every single one has been repaired by a guy named Kyle and his wife Henny, who was here on our dedication Sunday. But he bought the cloth. He thought he was just fixing one chair. And he's been fixing chairs for 18 years because every single one has been broken. You know, like the backs, the everything. They've just been replaced and stuff. So we're happy. Now, 18 years. Could you imagine? We just had our anniversary, and I was privileged to honor Friday night to just share and honor John and Carol. Friday night, if you saw the live, if anyone was watching live, and I think they're going to have it up. But 18 years. It's absolutely amazing. The river is still flowing. And I do want to say this. Like John preached, John Arnott that night, Friday night, preached an amazing message. The river is flowing, you know. On Christmas Day, I preached a message on the river here. It was a small little crowd. And Ezekiel 47. And you know, the river is real. This key stuff is real. Going through this love tunnel, I guess that's what you called it. It's real. It is absolutely real. When I look back at revival, it is real. And, you know, you can get caught up. And I think this is what's going to end up happening a lot in this facility, in this new venue here. There's going to be supernatural things happening in such a way that you're going to be caught up in a vision. And the vision's going to be more real than, you know, touching your own skin, that kind of real. You're going to be caught up in the spirit. And it's going to be because the supernatural really is, you know, the heavenly is actually more tangible if, you know, the veil was torn in our senses, so to speak. The supernatural, the heavenly realm is real, is more real than the natural. And I remember John shared this, but there was a guy by the name of Nathan Wright. Do you remember Nathan and his father Jeremy? And he was working on the camera, and Friday night John shared this. All of a sudden, this guy, it was in a revival meeting, because we used to have meetings every single night for, you know, almost 14 years. The guy came from the back, and he was coming up the aisle at our airport church, and he was doing the backstroke. John was sharing this. He was actually off the ground, because I do remember back then those days. But let me just share. I remember those days. I remember people doing things off the ground. I do remember people actually, if you can maybe remember this, Henry and Beth, but actually people almost on levitating almost, like doing things that were not naturally possible. This guy, Jeremy, comes right from the back, comes right up to the stage and goes around, you know, in the aisles, and he's doing the backstroke. And John, you know, John's a good Baptist boy, John Arnott, former Baptist. I said, what was going on? What were you experiencing? And he says, John, I was in a river. There was actually, he was so, if you want to call it, out of it, but so into it is probably the better word. He was so into it that the river was real. And he was backstroking. I dare you, you know, go try to do a backstroke when we do our fire tunnel here and see if it's even possible. This guy came and he was literally doing the backstroke. I remember the days when people would just run, get up, and all of a sudden they'd start running. You remember that in the middle of a meeting? That things are going to happen and are going to begin to happen. And we're starting to dream again, because I believe, especially confirmed in our dedication service, and most of you were here, that revival is going to break out in this town. I believe this is a well that's going to be unplugged, as it were. And, you know, get ready. Get ready, because you know what? I know something about, and I'm going to prophesy or declare this. I know that the Lord has already raised, if that's a proper way to say it, raised you up for something, because this is a praying church. This is a church that gets right into it, lays hands. Like, I mean, last week, man, when we released the anointing here with our interns, everybody was praying for everyone. And that doesn't happen, you know, in every church. God is going to use you mightily, and you're going to be the ministry team for what God's going to bring about here. We're already starting to plan events, and mark this one down if you have a pen, but John and Carol are going to come for a weekend in April. We're going to have a weekend with John and Carol here, April 20th. So you want to get in, and you want to register for that right away, because it's probably going to be packed out. So we've got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the morning, and John, I've already got that one down. We're trying to dream about events here like once a month, like Holy Spirit in your face, in town kind of thing. Here's the fire. This is it. And I'm trying to get away from the pray for me. I'm trying to move, take the hat off, the supervisor construction hat off, and stay with the pastoring so I can use some help. Please help me with some of this stuff. And we're still, like, Jamie's been here every day and doing a lot of, you know, little stuff. And it's starting to look good. You know, Kathy had a thought. Wouldn't it be nice to have this carpet on the stage? I said, yeah. All we do is cut out the bottom and put it on the top. I said, really? Maybe it might not be that easy. But I think we, not that easy, no. But I believe it will be, because if we lay hands, I've just got a feeling maybe that glue will come up or something. Who knows? But if we can take that carpet off, we'll transfer it here. And my wife asked me, what about this? I said, well, we can put some of that black stuff around. Oh, that'll be good. So anyways, we're being creative, and God's going to make this place look just beautifully wonderful. Actually, you know what? I found out that, guess what Shabbat means? Anyone know? Shabbat. Shabba Rabba, you know, two words there. Shabba actually means well done. So every time you've been hearing Shabba, it's well done. Well, and Rabba actually means pleasant. So anyhow, so Shabba, you, because you love Shabba, so you're constantly saying, well done, Bob. All right, good. So, okay, let me just go through all these little things that I wrote down. 18 years, we're going to celebrate. So we're going to celebrate with we're going to take this front row out at least, and we're going to have a real fire tunnel and let it rip. Is that okay? I'll give your permission to do that. Don't worry about, we'll probably need some draggers because the anointing is going to come heavy. If you know what I mean. Now, also, you know, about events, we're going to have youth events as well, and we're going to connect a little bit more with our young adult congregation. And we're really one church, remember? And we're just going to connect together. But we're going to start, I think, February. We're going to start youth nights here. And, you know, we're wanting this place to be open on Friday nights. We want this place to be an active center. We haven't even started anything yet. Okay, we just kind of painted the walls, if you want to say that. But it's, people are actually coming, and I've mentioned this, but people do come up the stairs. We, you know, when the ladies are here, we have to lock the doors because we just don't know. There's homeless coming. There's folks asking for handouts. There's all kinds of stuff happening. People getting saved. And it's all going to happen, and God is absolutely amazing because the river is flowing. Now, let's talk about this. Expanding your kingdom, His kingdom, by pursuing your presence. Now, the talks, this is the second talk. And the focus, and I'm glad it's this way because it first mentions expanding your kingdom, but we're reversing that to the presence. And so the first several talks is basically on the presence, and then we're going to talk about the kingdom. So let's pray. So Father, I ask right now that you would expand your kingdom, and Father, you would teach us to pursue your presence up. Up is good. Up and above. Above all else. Father, all we want is you, Lord. Nothing but you. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come into your presence with joy. We come into your presence, oh Lord, with prayer, thanksgiving, praise, joy, rejoicing. Father, we're just so thankful that you've made our hearts pursue you and that our perspective is making you the main thing. And we don't want to lose sight of the main thing because you are the main thing. And Father, we thank you that we are making every effort in our spirit because you've dwelled in our hearts. You dwell in our hearts, and Holy Spirit, you're allowing us and giving us the grace to make the main thing the main thing. And so, Father, you are the main thing, and we pursue you hard and fast, knowing that you love us so much because we're sons and daughters, and you wouldn't hold anything back from us because you absolutely adore us. You absolutely are just ecstatic or just tickled pink and all that kind of good stuff. You just love us so much. And Father, some of us need that revelation that you absolutely love us. There's nothing you wouldn't do for us because you're a good daddy. And we absolutely love you back in every name, in every way, in Jesus' name. So how do we give more to God? First slide. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Look at this. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That's what this is all about. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So how do we give more to God? We're going to talk about the presence, and this is how we lean into the presence. We rejoice always, regardless of our circumstances, right? In all circumstances, it says, give thanks. It says, pray. Prayer is an amazing thing. And I can go on and on and on about prayer. I found that nothing works without prayer. Nothing. And I love what Smith Wigglesworth, you know, Steve mentioned Smith Wigglesworth, when he was asked the question, right? Do you remember? I think John mentioned this once. How much do you pray? What was his response? Do you remember, Don? You probably remember well. Yeah, he says something along, I don't pray, along those lines, because he's always in prayer. He says, oh, how often do you pray? It's like 10 minutes doesn't go by without him praying. So, you know, the buzzer kind of thing, it was like an internal thing in him. And, you know, we're going to suggest the buzzer, and I've got the app on my phone, but, you know, my internal clock kind of works that way. So it helps you, the buzzer helps you get in motion. But his whole thing and the idea was to pray continually. Like Paul talks about praying without ceasing, like in that constant state of prayer. But let's rejoice first, shall we? Next slide. We pursue God when we are joyful. Rejoice always. Wow. Joy, you got to realize joy, next slide, if you can. Joy is a choice, not dependent upon circumstances. Happiness is dependent on good circumstances. But is it doing that thing again?
No, but that's my fault. I'm sorry. I won't play with it anymore.
Don't play. Lay hands on her, someone. Just... Don't play with the thing. I'll keep talking. So rejoice always. So could we move to the next slide? Or no, okay, you have to boot up again. So rejoicing is really, it's not dependent upon your circumstances. You know, I remember once John Safford said that, you know, you can grieve. Your spirit is made in such a way that you can actually grieve and be full of joy at the same time. It's not like one, you know, some of us seem to think that, you know, the world's going to come crashing down and your spirit has to be that way, you know, downcast and all that. There are times when you're downcast, but you know what? You can actually be sad and joyful at the same time. You know, there are moments when the sadness is greater. You remember what Isaiah says? He turns our mourning into what? Dancing. In the morning, what happens? Joy arises, doesn't it? It's how long does he want sadness to last? The Lord. Joy comes in the morning. So I think, you know, he doesn't want it to go over a night. So you can choose. You can choose to be rejoicing all the time. And, you know, I'm preaching to myself here because how many of you actually need a Holy Ghost filling, and you need to be more joyful in your life? Hands up, just a few, okay. Why? Why do you need more? Why do you need to rejoice and be joyful more? Okay, here's the question, the $10 million question or the $1 million, whatever it is. Okay, I remember, and I think it's coming to me now. I think you need to be careful about this. I don't want to tell you what it is, but I know what kind of a spirit it can be. And that is, why all this laughter? Why all this drunkenness? Why all this joy? Why all this? And yet, let's think of Africa and those who are starving. Have you ever had that argument? Have you ever thought through that in your mind? Oh, Lord, but there's so many people, they're starving and everything else. Has anyone ever, is it just me? Have you really entertained that thought at all? Well, I might have something that might be of interest to you. Look, in this culture, in Canada, here today, is there any reason for us not to be joyful? Not to be rejoicing all the time. Any reason at all? So if you're not, it's actually the reality of it. I think it's, you'll be judged by not being joyful. If you're thinking, you follow what I'm saying? Because you got it all. Everything's okay right now. So the reality of it is that you better be joyful. No, I'm not being hard-handed or heavy-handed here. The reality of it is, everything is amazing. You've got a roof over your head. You've got wonderful children. You know, yeah, there's ups and downs and all that. And you're, you know, maybe your health isn't that well. But the reality of it is we've got it made in the shade. And there's no reason not to be joyful. There's no reason not to be rejoicing. So the reality of it is if we think, well, I can't be joyful. You know, it's not going to do you any good unless it's a holy injustice that sends you out to Africa to feed. You know, unless it actually spurs you on to do something there, you know, and moves you. And I'm okay with that. But the reality of it is that you're not going to change the circumstances unless you pray, unless you do something about it. You know, those who are starving and all that kind of, you know, world chaos and, you know, wars and rumors and all that kind of stuff. You're not going to make a difference unless you pray and unless you start rejoicing. And I think it's the enemy's tactic to keep you down and think, oh, make you see the other side. Yeah, but aren't you guilty? Don't you feel condemned? Don't you feel condemned that you're rejoicing, having a great old time here, and yet those people are you know, full of sadness because they don't know where to find their next meal? I believe we are held more accountable to being joyful and rejoicing than we are to look at other circumstances elsewhere. We're held with a higher accountability in terms of being joyful and being full and rejoice. It's the word of God. Rejoice always. When? You think the Lord is, Paul is saying that for a reason? You think he's saying that because there are times where we're not always joyful? But many, the righteous, be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. The implication in this verse, next slide, is that when things are going good and bad, we have a choice to rejoice. So regardless of our circumstances, I know some of you may be feeling the pressure, the stress of certain things, you know, it's just heavy and all that. But you know what? You can make a choice to rejoice. And I'm making that choice today. Habakkuk 3:17 says this. It says, you have to look at me, sorry, Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, look at that. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God, my Savior, the Sovereign Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Isn't that amazing? So no matter what, isn't that a scripture? Amazing. So really, when you look at, though there's nothing on the other side, he's still asking you to rejoice. Even in your own circumstances, let alone looking at someone else's circumstance. He's saying, regardless, rejoice in God. And that's what we're called to do. I think you can pursue his presence by rejoicing continually, always. Is it possible to rejoice when things are going bad? Because rejoicing is a choice. It is possible. God loves when we choose him, even when it looks like he isn't involved in our lives. The reality of it is he's always involved in our lives. Always. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Man, I know many times I felt dumbfounded or I have to just get on my knees and ask God to forgive me and repent and all, you know, and just, you know, I'm on my little, you ever get those days where you're kind of like, you know, pity me, you know, like, what do you call those days? Like, pity parties, I'm thinking something like, yeah, well, you have your own pity party days, but, and then, you know, all of a sudden there's a wake-up call. It's like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. You were there all the time. You were, you know, making it happen and stuff. I find that actually those days, those pity party days actually work against you quite often. And you're lucky. I'll use the word luck, but it's by God's grace. Let me just rephrase it then. It's by God's grace that you see the other side. Because you can dwell in your pity party or stay in your pity party and not see the light at the end of the tunnel and never get out of it. And let's hope that we can get out of it, regardless of our circumstance. Because God is always there. Believe me, He will always answer your prayer. And you say, yeah, but what if it's full of flesh? And what if it's not His will? What if it's not His desire? And all those kinds of things. Well, you know, God's starting to speak to us about our desires, isn't He? And God's starting to say, hey, you know, I loved you and I've placed those desires in your heart. And maybe we need to have faith in what He's put in our hearts as being from Him and His desire for our life. Because I don't think we have enough faith for that at times. Next slide. We pursue God when we are praying. Pray continually without ceasing. That's another translation. Continually. That means pray all the time. Prayer is, what is prayer? Well, I don't want to get into it, but prayer is really just a matter of talking. My kids kind of wonder, Dad, do you talk to yourself? I said, because like they're thinking that I'm a little, you know. I said, yeah, I think I need to talk to myself. I need to talk, but I'm also talking to God. I'm just, I got this thing called self-talk. And it helps me to process things. Now you think maybe it's New Agey, but it's not. I mean, David did it all the time, believe it or not. He talked out, you know, loud. I mean, he wrote all that amazing poetry and, you know, why? Because he was speaking out to God. And anyways, I need to process things in my mind. I believe in inner healing and deliverance and the whole bit. And God, I was with a guy, many of you may know him, Chip Budd. He teaches on boundaries. Some of those who were in our school or been to our school, he's an incredible guy. Anyways, he's trying to figure some things out. And I'm saying, no, I've got healing in this area of my life. And he says, you know, your brain's like a computer. He says, you know, it's kind of, unless you change the memory bank, it just automatically goes into, it's almost like a rut. You know what I mean? It just, your brain's like that. And so it's almost like I need to rewire. It's actually, you know, reprogram my hard drive. So he helped me understand my brain in terms of computer. He said to me, you know, how do you rewire your brain? How do you reprogram your brain? Yeah, you can do it. You know, if there's some demonic influences there and stuff, you know, you need to change your lifestyle patterns and all that. And, you know, Romans 12 talks about renewing your mind daily, right? And he says, well, how do you renew your mind? You can go to restoring the foundations. You can go to the Kielstras. You can do all that stuff, which is amazing. But there was an aspect, self-talk really, that helped me understand that I needed to continually start to talk to myself. And start to reprogram the way I think. And faith actually would come in. And I would be able to build faith. Thoughts, challenging, actually 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 4 or 5 really is good in terms of what it says. It's an amazing passage that talks about the weapons of our warfare not being carnal, but mighty. To the pulling down of strongholds, we demolish what? Every thought, every imagination that raises itself up against God. And we take captive. We take those thoughts. That, look, I know I was a demolition expert. I used to blow up buildings. I know when he's talking about demolition. It's basically blow that mind up. Throw it in the trash and get a new one. That's what he means. Start to pray. Start to talk. Start to, like God, like have a normal conversation with him. And start to blow up your stinking thinking. Honestly. And start to pray. Prayer is talking with God. Praying is being in an ongoing conversation with God. Why would you not want to talk to God? He's like closer than air. Sorry, I'm getting a little... The Italian's coming out there. Daniel. Daniel was amazing. And in fact, you know, we can read this. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, that was bad news, by the way, right? We don't need to go and give you a history lesson. We don't have time for that. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. No, he's not praying towards Mecca. Sorry. Anyways, three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And everybody knew this man was a man of prayer. Everybody knew, Christian or non, Israelite or non, everybody knew that he was, Nebuchadnezzar, all of them knew that he would be kneeling, you know, just praying three times a day. Isn't that amazing? Man, imagine if we prayed three times a day. Imagine if we had a church. Just start to think of a church that would pray three times a day. Imagine if we had a praying church. The power that would be released, the faith that we would see, the miracle. It's amazing. Comments about David, Daniel and prayer. He had three consistent times a day that he carved out of his schedule to pray. That's why I'm pretty excited about, you know, the release of creativity, the release of signs and wonders here, because we're going to birth that in pursuing his presence through prayer. And I'm excited about that, whatever that looks like. I'm excited. I love baby steps. I like it even when it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, moving into 10. You know, because building muscles, it's like, you know, a trainer kind of thing. You know, he doesn't go in there just bench pressing, you know, 150 pounds. He goes in with, if you're anything like me, with maybe 20, you know, and then builds up to 30. I don't bench press, but anyhow, next slide. Comments about Daniel in prayer. His habit of praying was known to those around him, including his adversaries. Believe me, just praying daily, you will find that your enemies and those who hate you will know that you're, and they won't, I mean, you know, they're going to back off a bit because they know, because in the spirit, they can pick up on stuff. And I said, no, I don't want to fool around with that guy. You know, he prays to his God. Just think, you know, the prophet Elijah, you know, Mount Carmel. Imagine that, you know, putting that water, building that trench, the trench, you know, and just say, call on your God. And, you know, just they were messing with someone big time. Next thing. As part of his daily prayer time, he made a point to be grateful. And that really, you know, moves to the next thing. His gratefulness actually contributed to a miracle. He didn't get eaten by the lions, did he? He rejoiced. Daniel in the pen, in the lion's den. Imagine that. You know, guys, we don't get thrown in lion's dens that often, do we? And yet he was rejoicing. You know, his Christianity was real. His Christianity, it was like the proof is in the pudding, they say, right? He had to live it out. Is our Christianity real? Do we live it out? Yeah. I mean, that's a bit of a wake-up call, but I like to preach to myself every once in a while. This is a self-talk message. Third point, we pursue God when we are thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. Wow, in everything, all circumstances. How much of our circumstances? All of our circumstances. I don't care if you're in debt. I don't care if you can't walk. I don't care. It's all circumstances. And that's why I love watching guys like, who's that guy, Nick? You know, he's got a little toe or something like that. Have you ever seen that guy? Oh, man, he's such an inspiration. It used to be Eric's, what was her name? That one, Joni Erickson, yeah, before. But now this guy Nick, it's just amazing. You should see him. And that guy is just an amazing preacher, just going all over the world. You know, he's got a little stubby thing there. And, I pray that God would just, grow it. But that's just me. But even in spite of it, he's just so grateful. And we need to know stories and hear stories like that of folks, you know, who are nowhere near, have nowhere near the capability and the abilities that we have. You know, we've got amazing abilities. We have amazing gifts. We have amazing talents. We have it. Just amazing. You came up the stairs. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm looking at you, Elizabeth. You made it up those stairs. And I just really even felt that God was giving you strength today. Did you have strength today? Because you just seemed like a little bit. Okay, we need to continue to pray for Elizabeth. Okay. Did you know one of the sacrifices in the Old Testament was a fellowship offering of thanksgiving? Along with their fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they had to present an offering with thick loaves of bread made of yeast. Next slide. Case study. Paul and Silas. Remember this story? It's good to be reminded of this story. Acts 16. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Imagine that. It wasn't just, you know, you're roaming in a jail cell. You're bound in there. About midnight. Midnight. Isn't that amazing? I love the midnight hour. I just love it. God just coming through at about midnight. It's just amazing. How are we going to do fire tunnels? It's so past our time. Anyways, I love the midnight hour. Just God is God of the breakthrough. This is what that is. This is breakthrough hour. So get out of your pity party because God is coming through at midnight. So rejoice always, pray and give thanks. So Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Imagine that, you know, just like Daniel's in the lion's den. He's rejoicing. Paul and Silas, they're in jail. They don't know if their head's going to come off. Imagine in jail. Come on now. And those, I've been to this jail, actually. I've seen this jail. And boy, oh, it's damp. It's cold. There's nothing. There's rats. It's like, I hate those slithery things. It is, And actually, you know what? Maybe it wasn't the same jail, though. It's just a tradition because, you know what? It said there was thunder and the jail shook and the doors opened and probably there's nothing left of that jail. I've been to other jails where Paul and Peter were and other jails. I was in a place where he was under house arrest, actually. My friend is a priest there, and it's a great place in Rome. Anyhow, so midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were praying and listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken at once. All the prison's doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Next slide. Comments. Thankful in all circumstances. Paul and Silas made a choice to give thanks and pray despite being falsely jailed. That's another thing too. You know, we've got this whole thing about injustice. Injustices in our lives. And how could you do that to me? And you know, all that. You ever get like that? And that was wrong. And that was, and you know, not even looking at how we wrong others. And you know, it's just, that's just a little thing. But when someone else does it to us, it's just huge, isn't it? Isn't it? And so imagine, you know, it's to the point that they're actually falsely accused and put in jail. Next slide. They're being thankful, rubbed off on the others. The prisoners were listening. So, you know, the fact that they are thankful, and like, you know, that's a testimony, guys. Like, imagine, you know, when people know your circumstances and situations and they see you holding your head up high, rejoicing, being thankful, praying, man, that just, is a breakthrough for people. That actually touches them. You don't even have to say anything to them. They can see it. And you know what? It's an opportunity to testify and to glorify. And it's just amazing. Next slide. Same thing. Miracle. God of the midnight hour. Miracle, just like Daniel. You know, their thankfulness. Imagine that. You know, you being thankful, God opens the doors to miracles, doesn't he? Yeah. Shabbat, let it go. Well done. Shabbat. Yes. I'm sorry. Okay, next one. Sorry, guys. I know you're ready for lunch. Wrap up. Rejoice always. Pray continually without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Next one. Okay, let's stand. How can we remember to rejoice, pray, and give thanks? Schedule a time in your calendar. Get a buzzer. Buzz someone. Beep someone. Do whatever. Let's confess right now, because I know we don't do this. Are we able to do a fire tunnel or not? What do you guys think? Yes or no? What's the consensus here? Let's make this confession right now. All together. Father, I'm not sure that I'm doing a good job at this part of my Christian life. Please help get this part of my life in order. Right now, I ask, Lord, that I'm preaching to myself. Help me get this part in order. So let's petition him. Father, can you help me to remember to make this a priority in my life? Wake me up. Shake me up. Stir me up. Again, to go back to that, I like that. Wake me up. Shake me up. Stir me up. Actually, you know what? Why don't you do it to somebody else? Wake you up. Come on. You need more joy. Shake me up. Stir me up. Stir Kathy up, would you? Come on. Stir her up, Don. Shabbat. Yarabashadda.